All right, wall fans, common censors, podcast consumers, welcome to another very exciting edition of Common Sense Sundays with Go Tell It to the Wall, hosted by me, of course, your absolute favorite podcast host, the one and only Sean O'Rourke, and this is episode 84 on this fine Sunday in July. Before we get into the meat of things, our digital trends and all that good stuff, we always kick things off with our social plugs. You can keep up with us during episodes, after episodes, for episodes, whenever you so please, even when I'm asleep. And you can do that in multiple locations. One of those would be facebook.com/gotellittothewall. That's right, facebook.com/gotellittothewall. Also, our YouTube channel. Head on over to youtube.com/gotellittothewall. Make sure you subscribe to our channel. You're going to find all kinds of great videos up there. All these video feeds go up there, as well as other clips and stuff that we don't necessarily throw up on the Facebook. So if you are a YouTube user, make sure you're subscribed and getting those, as the YouTubers say, click that notification button, and then you'll know when we post new videos. You don't actually have to do that. Just go back to the channel every now and then. In fact, YouTube's kind of funny like that. I noticed the other day it recommended to me my own podcast recommendation for today, and it was last week's episode. I realize that's partly because I have, there's a Go Tell It to the Wall YouTube account, which is like the YouTube account, and then I have a nothing YouTube account, the Sean O'Rourke YouTube account, that is only used to consume stuff. And of course, for those of you that use YouTube Music, you know, you gotta have one of those. You can't have an actual creator channel and use it for YouTube Music. So I guess that's why it was doing it, but just subscribe. I don't care if you hit the notification button or whatever, but there's great content up there, so do that. And of course, everybody uses the Instagram, right? Follow my own personal Instagram account, which is at SoCalSean, SoCalSean, at SoCalSean, and you're going to find all kinds of great content up there. Not all of it related to Go Tell It to the Wall and Common Sense Sundays, but all of it related to things that we talk about here at Go Tell It to the Wall. There's actually some great concert videos and photos that went up from last weekend. I'm a little biased, but super cute videos and photos that are up there from last weekend's Wet Hot Scamerican Summer. So make sure you're following me on there. And of course, if you can't remember those things, it's pretty easy to remember. SoCalSean and Go Tell It to the Wall. But if you can't remember this one, that would be SeanO'RourkeLive.com. That's right, SeanO'RourkeLive.com. That is the official website for anything and everything that as Common Sense Sundays, Go Tell It to the Wall, and me personally, Sean O'Rourke. Bookmark that one, check back off, and you're going to find links to those social platforms I just mentioned, as well as a link to our Patreon page. If you want to support us financially, you can do that right there on Patreon. Actually, looking to add some more incentives. For those of you that have been longtime patrons, you're not going to have to worry about that because I'm just going to throw them at you anyway. But for those of you that have been thinking about becoming a patron, we're going to have some new incentives up there very, very, very soon. So keep an eye out for that. And you can link, again, right from our official website. And if you don't want to do that, but you want to support us, you can pick up some Common Sense merch through our merch website right there on SeanO'RourkeLive.com. I know I've said it for a couple episodes. I'm working to get the new logo up there. We're going to have the new logo available to get t-shirts and everything else. So if you're waiting for that, just be patient. But if you just want to get the original Go Tell It to the Wall logo, that stuff's already available right there on our merch website, linked directly from our official website. And today is the last day of July. Feels like July really flew this year. I feel like just yesterday I was hanging out on the 4th of July at my friend's house and having a little bit of barbecue there. But here we are at the end of July, last day of July, almost August. And I'm not going to mention it in entertainment news because I don't know the design yet. I don't like to bother Paul about it. Who knows? We're only a few hours away from most likely the unveiling of the newest of the Basis Against Racist design for August. So keep an eye out for that. If you're listening to this or watching this, you probably have like a couple hours left to pick up the July Basis Against Racist design. We're right in the middle of it. I'm not going to go through because you got like a couple hours and I don't know the new one yet. But of course, next episode, we'll talk about whatever the new design is. So happy August to everyone out there, I guess. Are you excited for August? I don't know. I am for certain things, but flew by a little too quickly here this month of July in this year 2022. Don't know why, but there it is. Apparently, I'm rhyming things. I don't know why July flew by. Oh, I'm a poet. I am nowhere near a poet. All right, let's talk about some digital trends. Speaking of being July 31st, 2022, apparently, and I don't know where this info came from. I usually don't care enough about things like this. I find them interesting. I think it's funny, and it's trending right now on the digital platforms. If you go and you open Twitter, it's trending, and you see it on Facebook, all these platforms. But apparently July 31st, 2022 is the birth date of one George Jetson from the animated series The Jetsons. Again, I don't know where this info came from. Maybe the creators of The Jetsons created a Jetsons Wikipedia page. Who knows? But apparently it's out there, and everyone's caught onto it, and they're saying somebody's going to be giving birth to George Jetson today, which I don't think it's actually going to happen, but means we're probably, what, like 30 years away from flying cars and all the stuff you saw in The Jetsons, which, if we concentrated on it, we probably could, and we might need to, but with the way we're destroying the Earth right now, but who knows if we're actually going to reach that point that we were watching, what we were watching The Jetsons do back in the 80s. It's been a long time, and, they make these dates, and you're like, oh, it's so far in the future, and suddenly it gets there. It's like with Back to the Future, 2015. Oh, it's so far in the future. Whoop, now we're here. What can we do to promote the hell out of Back to the Future 2? I'm really curious if somebody is a big Jetsons fan, if they're going to have a baby today and name that kid George. We'll see. But, their last name would have to be Jetson for it to be the George Jetson, and I'm sure somebody out there has that last name. But I'm not going to sit here and try to calculate the odds, but it seems very, very, very low. We'll just put it that way. All right, Taylor Swift. She's been trending on the social platforms for like a week now. And the reason I wanted to talk about this one is it's related to something we talked about either last episode or the episode before, and that is celebrities, and not even celebrities, just rich-ass fucking people flying their planes for like 3 minutes. And just further destroying the Earth that we haven't been taking care of for a very, 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 very long time. Well, somebody took the time to actually calculate which celebrity or rich person is doing the most damage via their personal aircraft. And apparently, it is by a large margin Taylor Swift, who it seems like she just takes her plane to Starbucks to pick up some coffee in the morning, from what I can gather. Like, good on you for doing the math. I went to film school. I did not have much interest in math. I can do basic math, but people out there enjoy it. And I'm thankful for those people to let us know that Taylor Swift is, in fact, the most culpable when it comes to destroying the environment with her private jet. Let's do better, Taylor. Again, I said it last time. I can't have a plastic straw. And I'm fine with it. I don't complain. We can't have plastic shopping bags. Fine. But maybe let's curb the flying around in a goddamn private jet, picking up some coffee or something, having dinner in Paris. Two people on a private jet, for the love of God. It's absolutely ridiculous. Let's just go ahead and use it when it's needed. And it's funny, I guess flights have become so cheap with some airline, one of those, the new one, Avalo or something like that. And people are taking like 20-minute flights now because they're like, oh, it's just so cheap to fly. It's like, yeah, but you're destroying the fuck. Come on. Remember? We've all learned about this since like the 70s and 80s. Let's do better. But not good on you there, Taylor Swift. I'm not a big Taylor Swift fan to begin with. And then I find out she's the biggest culprit destroying the environment with her plane. All right. Not making me like her anymore, that's for sure. All right, Tiffany and Company. Why? We're talking about Taylor Swift. What is going on here? This is trending on the social platforms right now. I find it fascinating because Tiffany & Company has apparently created a line of NFTs. You all know how we feel about NFTs here at Go Tell It to the Wall, with the exception of the $40 NFT that I do own to be part of the Less Than Jake fan club. Speaking of NFTs, I get tangented for a second. I think this is going to be a thing for bands because I got an ad for Gwar, they're releasing some NFTs. Again, not an NFT fan. But if it's me giving a little bit of money to a band and it just sits my membership, then maybe I'll do it. However, with this Tiffany & Company stuff, they're releasing something like 250 NFTs. And this is where, and I need my glasses almost. So the cost of them is going to be 30 ETH, which is like Ethereum or something. Like I said, I own an NFT. I didn't have to deal with this Ethereum stuff. I gave my credit card. I was like, here's $40. Give me this thing. All good. But apparently 30 ETH, Ethereum or something, is about $50,000. $50,000. So Tiffany & Company is selling these 250 NFTs for $50,000, and people are losing their minds. How could Tiffany & Company do this? And it's like, that's the company that charges you like $500 for a silly keychain? What did you expect with the NFT stuff? This is where it gets out of hand. You know, $40 for an, fine. It's a fun little, like, whatever, digital collectible. $50,000. Get out of here. But at the same time, I'm looking at it, it's like, what? Why are you shocked? It's Tiffany & Company. And to me, this is actually better, because this is something that you could argue could may go up in value. This is much better than the luxury brand companies that have been putting out the, like, beat-up sneakers and all this other bullshit, shirts with holes in it. And so, complain about that first. You don't have to buy the NFT. I think it's stupid, but you don't have to buy the NFT. What do you expect from Tiffany & Company? You're literally paying for a stupid little blue box when you go in there. I'm pretty sure they collect your credit card as soon as you walk in the door, and they charge you by the minute just to walk around. I wouldn't be shocked. Not, as you can tell, I'm not a big Tiffany & Company fan. It's like, not for me. Not really for me. I'm all about, like, high-end jewelry. You know what I'm talking about? Get yourself a jeweler. Don't go to this Tiffany & Company just for the name. Get a real jeweler who knows what the hell they're doing, you can develop a relationship with, and then that's where you get your high-end jewelry. I'm not a jewelry guy myself. I mean, my wife's not even a big jewelry person, but once in a while, I got to get her some nice jewelry, or maybe I'm, you know, wedding rings and stuff like that. So I got a jeweler. Everyone should have a jeweler. You know, you don't have to buy a bunch of high-end stuff. I don't do that, but I know somebody that I can go to and be like, what's a going rate on, and, you know, and I've only bought one engagement ring in my life, but, you know, stuff like that. And you're like, okay, all right, well, now this, and get an honest opinion. I'm not going in somewhere with blue boxes. Just don't do it. All right, hashtag Marjorie Trader Green. I believe this has trended multiple times, and to be honest, this could trend at any time. And I see this stuff come up, and it feels like weekly there's something utterly ridiculous that comes from Marge, and it's just more and more stuff. And I'm still completely blown away that people support this. It's like, and no offense to Georgia, I know there's a lot of fine people living down there in Georgia and stuff, but good Lord, Georgia, how did you elect this person? This is what we're dealing with. Just complete ineptitude. Wants Christian nationalism in this. Come on. Mind-boggling that we're still dealing with someone like this. Still. And it could trend any given day. Like, it should just be a permanent trend on Twitter. Hashtag Marjorie Trader Green. Good old Marge down there in Georgia. All right, one more of these digital trends here. Hashtag vaccine injured. This one's going to roll us right into our COVID updates, but people are sharing this hashtag vaccine injured. And the interesting thing is people are all actually arguing, because a lot of digital platforms such as Twitter have stated that they're going to, block misinformation, false information, things like that, but they still let these things trend. And by all means, I am not a doctor. I'm not going to sit here and say that nobody has ever had a problem from a vaccination ever in the history of vaccines. However, when things like this trend and it's like two people making a stink, or maybe it's true, maybe it's not, that really comes down to misinformation at a certain point. Always fact check. That's the thing. I'm not going to sit here and tell you any kind of factual information regarding vaccines. What I am going to tell you is I've been vaccinated and boosted. My wife has been vaccinated and boosted. Most everyone in my extended family has been vaccinated and boosted. All my friends have been vaccinated and boosted. In the punk scene, nobody's messing. Everybody's getting vaccinated. My daughter, vaccinated and boosted. So I will leave you with that, but I encourage you to do your own fact-checking if stuff like hashtag vaccine injured pops up on your social feeds, because misinformation I don't want to be extreme, but misinformation can literally be deadly. That's just a fact. All right, some COVID updates. LA County, I mentioned this recently, we were looking at a possible mask mandate coming back into effect, which I would have had no problem with, but it looks like LA County narrowly avoided having the mask mandate implemented, and apparently this was because numbers have leveled off. Again, I'm not a mathematician, I'm not a statistician, I'm not a doctor. But apparently, we have hit a point where we don't necessarily need to mask up indoors. Now, that being said, I've said this 2.5 years now, even when mask mandates went away at one point and they came back and went away again, I'm still wearing my mask. If I go grocery shopping, if I go inside somewhere with crowds of people, I'm wearing my mask. That's just me personally. You don't want to wear it? Fine. I'm not going to chide you about it. But be smart. Think about your health and the health of your family. The one thing that did piss me off about that is about a week ago, when we were like, okay, mask mandates could be coming back in a week or so. The Beverly Hills City Council, or the Beverly Hills Council, whatever council they got of rich white people in Beverly Hills, decided that they were not going to enforce any mask mandate that was implemented by the county. And here's the thing that really pisses me off about that, is sure, whatever, have your conviction, you don't believe the virus is dead, whatever. The ridiculous thing is when you look at the people that have a lot of wealth that live in places like Beverly Hills, they can afford to get COVID and not work for a week or two. They can afford to have somebody taking care of their children while they deal with COVID. So they don't care about infecting other people with COVID. And that's why they weren't going to enforce the mask mandate. Here's the thing. There's a single mother somewhere that if she gets COVID and can't work for 2 weeks, she's going to have trouble paying her rent. There's a family of five, you know, mother and father with three kids, that if the parents get COVID, who's going to take care of their three kids? Who's going to take them to school? Who's going to cook them dinner? And oh yeah, they're going to miss work. And if they're living paycheck to paycheck, that's not something that's plausible. So regardless, I'm not going to sit here and tell you you should be wearing masks. I wear my mask. It's just smart. I don't want my family getting sick. I don't want to get sick. But have respect for people that cannot afford to deal with COVID. Let alone the people that have health issues that if they get COVID, they are at much higher risk of death or serious illness. Let's just be smart and let's think about others. We're such a greedy, selfish country when it comes to most things. It's not that hard to just throw a mask on. It's simply not that difficult. And this was an interesting one. A study has come out, and I would encourage you to check this out yourself. I kind of went through it, and it's something that we've kind of known a little bit for a while. There were stories about, like, you know, maybe you're immune to COVID if you haven't gotten COVID. Now they're saying that most likely those who haven't gotten COVID actually have gotten COVID. It was just a mild case, and they didn't even necessarily test, or maybe it possibly didn't show up on a test. This is actually me. I have yet to have a positive test, and I'm going to knock on wood. I've yet to have a positive test in the two and a half plus years of COVID. However, based on these studies, they're saying there is a chance that I've had it. My daughter has not had a positive test. My wife has not had a positive test. So who knows? Again, if this is something you're interested in looking into, or if you're somebody that hasn't had a positive COVID test, I'd encourage you to check out this study. It's interesting. I'm not a doctor. Read the study and get from it what you will. I'm just an idiot that yells at a wall once every week using some common sense. And common sense says, let's pay attention to the science of these things. All right, one more thing here with COVID updates. Biden and COVID, President Biden has actually gotten a rebound. They call it a rebound case, put that in finger quotes. Not because it's weird, it's just that's the name they're giving it. So, quote, rebound case of COVID, because he did have it, then he was testing negative, and then came down with it again. And it's interesting, my wife actually brought this up, and I'd kind of been thinking about it, because he was one of the ones that was using Paxlovid, and I've heard great things about this. I know a few people that have gotten COVID and got the Paxlovid, and it helped very much with their symptoms and with their recovery from COVID. But what my wife brought up, and which actually kind of makes sense, is I wonder if this actually is a rebound case, or if the Paxlovid kind of pushed the viral load down and then he tested negative but still had a little bit in there, and then once that kind of worked its way through the system, tested positive once again. Again, I'm not a doctor, but that was just an interesting kind of tidbit that I was like, oh, okay, is it actually a rebound case, or has he just had it and it was testing negative but it's still the same case of COVID? Again, who knows? I'm not a doctor, but I find that interesting. All right, mental health. I don't want to get too in-depth with mental health this week. I feel like we've been fire and brimstone when it comes to mental health, courtesy of people like Marjorie Trader Greene and others out there, and Bobo out there in Colorado, and all the mass shootings and everything else. But what I want to talk about is something we've talked about a couple times over the years, and that's the divisiveness of social media. Now, trust me, I am very well versed in the divisiveness of social media. I get a lot of hate emails from people that catch this podcast. They catch Go Tell It to the Wall, and they listen, and they disagree with the things we talk about, and they send me hateful emails, death threats at times. But when it comes to my social media feed, with the exception of Twitter, that's why we don't really promote Twitter. We have a Go Tell It to the Wall Twitter. We don't really promote it that much. I do like to get information. There's a lot of divisiveness in my Twitter feed. But when it comes to Facebook and Instagram, I don't know how you get a bunch of divisiveness in Instagram. People post some weird photo, whatever. But in Facebook, because I have curated my feed down to people that I like to interact with. I'm not someone that wants to go on social media and have debates. Now, if you're somebody that wants to go on social media and debate things, by all means, do it. I know multiple people that they enjoy that forum, and they tend to either learn something or they teach something to others. You're rarely going to fully change someone's mind, especially at this point. If someone is an Orange Menace supporter, you're not going to change their mind at this point. You know, maybe a couple years ago, you still had that. Now, if they're still supporting that asshat, then there's no way you're going to change their mind. But there's nothing wrong with a healthy debate. I'm not saying you shouldn't debate. It's just for some of us, I don't want to do that. I don't. I have friends that do, and they enjoy it, and they pass information back and forth. Sometimes it gets a little like, you know, and that's when, and I do, sometimes I'll flip through the comments and stuff, but I'm not getting involved. I'm just not. So I encourage you, it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be completely divisive. You can curate it down to what you like. Mine is all music and friends. You know, I mute even people that I know that I don't want to hear. You know, you can mute them. You don't have to be friends on Facebook. You don't have to debate things on social platforms. And we live in a society where we do want to argue about everything. And trust me, I can be an argumentative person. But for the sake of your mental health, you got to consider those things. And even if you curate that down to your select group of friends, the information that you want to consume on a daily basis, it's still good to every once in a while unplug from the social media. And I'm not even saying unplug from technology. Just unplug from social media. Go watch a movie. Go read a book. Go for a run. Go for a hike. Go for a bike ride. Whatever it is. I think everybody needs to do that. And especially if you deal with mental health problems and mental illness. Because like for me, with obsessive compulsive disorder, sometimes I will see things on social media. And it bugs me for a week. So think about your own mental health when it comes to your social media feeds, your digital feeds, whatever you're looking at and getting information from. Even the news. You know, there's not a ton of great news out there. I mean, we always try to inject some positive news, but we're also talking about idiot politicians and hypocrisy within the U.S. and the government and everything else. So it's not a lot of, you know, when you watch the news, it's not great news most of the time. Just unplug from that for a few minutes. A few days. A week if you can do it. I can't do it for a week because I'm getting stuff for GoTel all the time. It's just little things, big things, death threats. It's all coming my way. And you get used to it. But after a while, even if you're used to it, it can start to wear on you. So just be aware. Be aware if that's something that you deal with on a daily basis. Because it can be detrimental to your mental health. And taking a break can be a huge move in a positive direction when it comes to kind of recovering your own state of mind, I guess. I don't want to say happiness, but your own state of mind. Your own peaceful state of mind, for lack of a better phrase. All right, let's talk about some positive news. I love this one. It's a little bit of sporting news for those of you that hate the sports, but it's a really cool one. This just happened today. And the reason, and I bring this up especially because we have a large fan contingent in the UK and especially in England. Well, today, the women's English national team, soccer team, actually captured the Euro Cup. This is the first major title for the English women's national team. It is the first major title for any English national soccer, all being national soccer teams, since 1966 when the English men won the World Cup. Now, many of you know that I'm Irish. I don't tend to cheer for England, but having so many friends there and seeing the outpouring of emotion and support for fans and people that live in England was really quite inspiring. And I got to say, I'm real happy for everyone that is a fan of England, everyone that lives there and is getting to experience this. And as much as my Irish side says, hey, we don't really cheer for England too much, my Polish side says, heck yeah, you beat up Germany to win the Euro Cup. Let me clarify, I have nothing against Germany, I have nothing against England. It's when you have a first-generation Polish grandmother, she doesn't have a lot of great things to say about Germany. No offense to Germany, I got no problems, but, you know, we had that little thing called World War II, and Poland was the first country invaded by Germany. I wasn't alive, but many of my older relatives still harbored a little bit of ill will toward Germany. And then, of course, my Irish relatives. You know how that story is. Northern Ireland, Southern Ireland. I'm not going to get into all that. But now, of course, I don't harbor any ill will. But I joke. So here we are. So congrats to all the English Wall fans out there. Happy for you. I hope you're enjoying it and putting down a couple pints in celebration today. I know they're warm pints. Maybe cool down your pint a little bit. I kid. All right, let's get into some parenting. Oh, man. My kids had no summer camp this week. Oh. Keeping them entertained. We had play dates. That's what you got to. You got to have play dates and stuff. But one thing we did do this week is we went out there to the Aquarium of the Pacific. For those of you that live in Southern California, you probably know what this is. For those of you that don't, it's a really well-known aquarium down there in Long Beach, which is like the furthest south part of LA County. Weirdly, and I've said this to my wife for years because we've talked about going. I think we even talked about going before we had a child. It's like, and my wife had, or she had been, but not in years upon years. I lived in Long Beach for a few years. And my roommate and I, when I lived there, we'd often be like, hey, we should go check out the aquarium. Never went. So this was my first time at the Aquarium of the Pacific. Took my five-year-old out there, obviously. And then we had another friend come with their four-year-old. So they got to play. And they all had a blast. I mean, we all had a blast. Both the kids had a blast. Who doesn't love an aquarium, first of all? Got these giant fish and seals and everything swimming around, and otters. I love some otters, man. Got to see all that. Here's a tip. A couple of tips. They have the parrots, in the aviary. And it's so funny because you always look at these upsells where they're like, you can buy nectar for the there's lorikeets in there, which is always funny to me. I'm like, we have these parrots flying over our house all the time. But it's cool to go in there, and you're like, do I really need to spend $4 on this nectar so that they can eat it? If you do go there and the lorikeets are there and it's open, pay the $4 for the nectar. And I say that because we walked into the aviary, and a couple in my group were holding it. 2 seconds, bam, bird on the hand, eating the nectar. And it's the coolest thing ever. I will say it's very difficult to explain to a five-year-old when there's a bird sitting on your hand that you can't actually pet the bird, because trust me, those birds look very pettable, but you can't pet them. But they land there and they just eat the nectar, and you're just hanging out with a bird on you. Well worth the $4. But even for adults, well worth the $4. But if you got kids, spring that extra $4 for the lorikeet nectar, and you're going to get some good photos. Trust me, we got a couple good photos with the birds sitting on hands and stuff and feeding them nectar. It was really great. Another tip is, and we did this, my wife and I did this, we actually sprung for the annual membership to Aquarium of the Pacific and literally did the math. And it's like, if we go twice in a year, it's paid for. But the kicker that we didn't know about until we got to the aquarium to like finish out, we paid for the membership and we had to get our picture taken and the card and everything. And the woman at the desk goes, oh, and since we are a nonprofit aquarium, your membership is tax deductible. And I went, you're kidding me. So it's a heck of a deal to have the membership. Now I can just come anytime with my kid. And it's not super close to the house, but it's not super far. And you're telling me I can deduct this on my taxes? That's fantastic. Fantastic. And it's also right next to the Pike in Long Beach. For those of you that aren't familiar with Long Beach, it's right on the water, very close to the Queen Mary. You can see the Queen Mary. And there's a bunch of restaurants and bars and shopping and everything. So you could make a whole day of it if you want to, even if you don't live right by there. Go to the aquarium, do a little eating, drinking, do a little shopping, whatever you so please. It's a great area, Long Beach. Highly, highly recommend it. And like I said, the kids had a blast. My kid already wants to go back. Like, we're on driving home. She's like, when can we go back to the aquarium? I'm like, we just left the aquarium. Soon. We'll go soon. Don't worry. Like, hopefully next time it'll be a little cooler. That was the one thing. Because even Long Beach, it's right on the water, tends to be cooler. But it's been so hot in Southern California that it was even warm at the aquarium. Like, there's outdoor parts and indoor parts. And we're like outdoor. And then you walk in, you're like, oh, yeah, air conditioning. Like, we need this a little bit. Oh, and the humidity's just been killer. Past few days. Like I walked outside yesterday. And I was like, "Why does it feel like the Midwest out here right now?" And then there's monsoon stuff coming in, around Arizona and stuff. So it makes sense. But just when we get the humidity here in Southern California, I'm like, "Come on, man! I live in LA to not have this humidity." All right. This is a funny, weird thing, and I'm curious if any parents out there want to also comment and kind of. When your kids' school start and stuff. And I've had this conversation with a couple parents and, in fact, a couple teachers over the past couple weeks. Kids here in L.A., including my five-year-old, they actually go back to school earlier than what we were accustomed to as kids. They actually go back to school the week before Labor Day, so August 15th. And, in fact, I was talking to my friend Daniel at the Row fundraiser on Thursday. He lives in Orange County. His son is going back the 10th of August. Now, I look back and I'm like, we were maybe starting at the end of August, but after Labor Day or right before. Here's the other kicker, and this is what I talked to a couple teachers about, multiple teachers. So my kid goes back to school the week before Labor Day. Then they have that Friday off, And then they have the Monday off for Labor Day. So they have a four-day weekend. They go back to school for 4 days and then four-day weekend. And the teachers I've spoken to are like, it's almost ridiculous because you're doing 4 days and then you're just starting it over again because they have a four-day weekend. It's like, well, why don't we just... And I get it. They have to get the days in and everything else. And I think I talked about this last school year when they had like 3 weeks for winter break instead of two, like a lot of us had when we were kids. And so I know it breaks down a certain way, but again, parents thinking it's weird is one thing, but then I literally, teachers are like, it's not great for us. It's just, it's not the great way to do it for us. So I think it should just go back to after Labor Day. Not my decision. I may sit on a school site council, but I don't work for the school district. I just get to give my two cents on certain things when it comes to my kids' school itself, not the actual school district. All right, we got one more thing here in parenting. I found this a little bit crazy. We've talked about a few stories from this. There's a Reddit that's something like, it's called like the, and I quote, "Am I a jerk?" Reddit page. And so a lot of people go on there and they're like, am I a jerk for doing blah, 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 or refusing to do blah, blah, blah. And I found this one interesting, especially from a parenting standpoint. And I'm not giving any names or anything. I think it was an anonymous post on Reddit. There was a sister whose younger sister was getting close to having her first baby. And apparently, her younger sister wanted a crib. A crib was on her registry. This is pretty regular. My kid is not in a crib, but we got a convertible crib that turned into a toddler bed. And that was something I believe, maybe my wife's parents, like somebody very close, bought us the crib. And so this woman, whose younger sister's going to have a baby, she said, I have a brand new crib, didn't really get used with my last child. And part of it was she wanted a pink crib. And so she's like, you can paint it pink. It'll look just as nice as any other crib you're going to find. Well, her sister said, no, I don't want a used crib. Not only does she not want a used crib, which, okay, I get it. You want a new crib for your first kid. Yes, totally fine. Some things it's good, you know. But here's the thing. She wanted this particular crib that cost over $7,000, and then it cost another $1,000 to paint it pink. I'd have to look back at receipts and stuff. I guarantee that the crib my kid was sleeping in, and I point backward because her room's that direction, was not even $1,000, let alone over $8,000. And here's the thing. The parents of these two women, the older sister and the younger sister, said, no, you should spend the money on this crib. We'll pay for half of it. They wanted $4,500, $4,500 from this sister for a crib. For a crib. Here's the thing. I know Reddit can be a dangerous place and a crazy place. It seemed that the most of Reddit agreed, like, yeah, nobody needs an $8,000 crib. And a couple people were like, does that crib come with a nanny? Like, does the crib change the baby? It's like, yeah. So from a parenting standpoint, if you're getting ready to be a first-time parent, you don't need a crib that expensive. You can get a great crib, highly rated, safe, all these other things. A couple $100. It's not that hard. So good on you, older sister, for saying, no, we're not doing that. That's crazy. And putting your foot down. And just please, let's do better. Don't register for $8,000 cribs. $8,000. What the hell? My computer doesn't even cost that. I have like one of the best computers you can buy. I've got a Surface Pro here. It's not $8,000. This is like one of the most expensive things I own. Other than a five-year-old, she's expensive, but she just racks it up. Like, it's not one $8,000 bill. It's like, okay, couple $100 at the aquarium for the membership, you know how that goes, but that's neither here nor there. All right, let's get into some common sense. Oh, we're just flying through it today, I feel like. I'm also admiring my new unwritten law. This isn't that new. I've had it for a while. Haven't had it on the podcast. And I'm really enjoying my my unwritten law shirt on the podcast today. We are going to recap we're going to review the new album once we get into entertainment news. It's not often I'm admiring myself in the camera, but I like this shirt. And it's just, I've worn it a few times before. It's not on the podcast, so I don't get to stare at it in my monitor for an hour. All right, common sense. All right, we had this thing called the PACT Act that was passed by Congress. It was a bill giving more money to healthcare for veterans, for military veterans. The GOP voted against it. Not only did they vote against it, but we saw one son of a bitch senator from down there in Texas, Mr. Teddy Cruz, fist bumping fellow Republicans because they were celebrating the fact that they didn't want to give more money to military veteran healthcare. I'm not going to sit here and get into talking points. If you are interested in learning more, easily digestible, go look at what John Stewart is how the stuff he's talking about regarding this and how he is completely debunking any lies that are coming out of the Republican side of this and why they voted no on it. The bottom line is the GOP doesn't care about the military once they're not active anymore. They do care about pumping a bunch of money into the military and the war machine. And of course, something we have talked about since almost the beginning of this podcast, they very much care when somebody kneels during the national anthem and immediately go to say, you are disrespecting the troops and the military. To me, and I don't think it's disrespecting the military at all, but to me, even if you are going to argue that's disrespectful to the military, isn't it much more disrespectful to not give them funding for proper health care? You gave them pump money for them to go to war, the war machine of this country, but then they get back and that's it. Bottom line is GOP loves the military and people, and when people kneel, but they don't give a fuck about taking care of veterans. That's black and white right there. And again, you can fact check and debunk any of those talking points that the Republicans are leaning on saying why they voted no on this and celebrated it. Fist bumps, which furthers what I've always said. To them, it's just a fucking sport. It's just a competition. They don't actually care about people. Politicians are just out there to win for their side, win for their donors. And they're not their donors being their constituents, their donors being corporate donors. Lobbyists. I don't want to hear any more of this shit about disrespect for the military until the Republicans actually fucking do something for the military. Outside of giving them money for more guns and shit like that. And invading countries for no reason. And of course, we had another bill going through the House this week, and this is the assault rifle ban. There's a lot to this that has come out today as well as far as apparently there is actually more funding for the police, which actually makes sense because a couple of Democrats, I hate this side of the aisle, that side of the aisle. I've said I've never been a registered Democrat. I've obviously never been a registered Republican. I am an independent. I have no party whatsoever. I simply vote with what I feel is right. You know, I do change my affiliation once every 4 years, because in California you can vote in a primary and you can change your affiliation to Democratic or Republican for one day in order to vote in a presidential primary. That's the only time I've ever done it. I do it once every 4 years. But I'm an independent outside of that. And in fact, last time I'll tell you who I voted for in the last presidential primary was somebody who changed to Democrat simply for the primary, and that would be Bernie Sanders, who is also an independent. But this assault rifle bill barely passes the House. And while I encourage everyone out there to do actual more fact-checking and look into what the funding for the police is, the bottom line is, as far as the assault rifle ban, is something similar to what we had in the 90s that they let expire. And if you look at the numbers on mass shootings, it did make a huge difference. And it still comes down to the fact that no civilian on the face of the earth should own an automatic rifle or an assault rifle. These AR-15s and everything else. Shotgun, great. Hunting rifle, fantastic. Handgun, protect your home, fine. Unless you're in the military or you're, you know, maybe a police department has like two of them in case somebody does come in crazy because they've got their hands on. We don't need any of this. Of course, it barely passed the House and it's not going to pass the Senate, so it's back to the drawing board when it comes to a lot of this stuff. Something else common sense that's almost comedic and has been, and this has been happening like crazy lately, is the right-wing misconception when it comes to either famous people's views, musical act views, or the way things are being portrayed on television. Two of those things that I want to talk about, because it's been rampant lately, is The Boys, the television show The Boys, that's available on Amazon Prime, as well as the band Rage Against the Machine. Now, The Boys, there's a lot of conservatives and right-wing people that not until this season, which is season three or four of The Boys, not until this season did they come to realize that the satire was actually going after conservatives and right-wing people. It took them three seasons to figure this out. Homelander is not a hero, but a lot of right-wing people saw him as a hero until they realized, like, oh, he's not the hero of this show, you know? And I'm going to do my best to not give any spoilers, but here's one. If you haven't seen, if you're not caught up on The Boys, just fast forward 20 seconds. One of the best things about The Boys, the last season of The Boys, is it ends with Homelander literally killing someone, like, on Fifth Avenue in New York, which is something Trump said, that he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and still be elected president. And that's what happened. He killed someone, and people cheered. So that's, clearly, you can see what they're doing, but that's the stupidity of some people out there. I'm not saying everyone who's a conservative is stupid, but clearly there was a bunch of rage coming from the right wing and the conservative side that they didn't realize they weren't supposed to like Homelander. Come on now. And this one's ridiculous. This was, and this could have been a Digital Trends. Like, it's still happening right now. As Rage Against the Machine has finally started. They've played a few live shows for the first time in 11 years. They had a tour set up for 2020. That obviously got canceled because nobody was playing shows in 2020. And suddenly, a lot of conservatives and right-wingers are like, wait a minute. And you're literally seeing posts that say, man, I wish Rage Against the Machine would just play music and stay out of politics. And people who are like, Rage Against the Machine, when did they get political? And I'm looking at them going, 1992 or whenever they formed? Are you just now listening to the lyrics of Rage Against? What fucking machine did you think they were raging against? They're literally raging against the government machine. That's the whole... They are a socio-political band. They have been since the beginning, but that's the ignorance and ineptitude of certain people out there that are like, oh. And remember when the election happened in 2020 and everyone's protesting and stuff, and there's all these conservatives and Trump supporters that are out there playing the song and dancing along to whatever the name of the track is, but it's like, fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. It's a great track. Dude, Rage Against the Machine is not in favor of your orange menace conservative asshole that you want to have installed as president again, even though he didn't fucking win. Ignorance. When did Rage Against the Machine become political? Give me, like, wait, what? Really? Since the beginning of Rage Against the Machine. That's how it's been. Speaking of idiots, apparently there's a place called Trump Burger down there just outside of Houston. Not owned by the Orange Menace or anything. It's just a very big Trump fan who decided to create and open a place called Trump Burger. So you can go in there and it's probably slathered in ketchup and they dump Diet Coke down your throat. That's the only thing I could think of. But I did see that they toast the buns with the words Trump on top. So I guess that's something that's a selling point. People are loving the burger place. People are loving it. And you know what? That's fine. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, you can't have a Trump burger, whatever. But what this is further proof of how Trumpers are essentially a cult. Like this politician worship, man. And I thought it was ridiculous with Obama, and people are still like, oh, it's the greatest president ever. It's like, hold up. Dude didn't codify Roe when he could. He's not the greatest president ever. So calm down on that. But even people like that, there's no Obama burger. You know, I mean, we have the Obama. I live very close to the section of freeway that's the Obama highway, but like every president's got that. George Bush has an airport. You know, those are things that are a burger place. It's the cult of Trump. It genuinely is. And that's just further proof that it's a cult. All right. This one I could have talked about under mental health. I got to tell you. I don't know if you've seen these commercials yet. Walmart home grocery delivery. And you might be like, oh, yeah, okay, no problem. Instacart. And, you know, and once in a while when Drizzly has a deal, like they'll say, oh, here's a $10 coupon and free delivery. And I'm like, oh, I'll order a case of beer. And Drizzly comes, drops it off. And I come outside and get it, and here's my ID, blah, blah, blah. You know, or putting groceries on the doorstep, that's fine. What Walmart is doing is terrifying. They have not only home grocery delivery service, but the Walmart delivery person will then come into your house and stock your refrigerator with all the groceries, your refrigerator and cupboards with all the groceries you have just ordered. This is a commercial out there. And they are saying whether you're home or not. And in part of this commercial, this I assume father, it's like it's a middle-aged guy and like two or three kids come running in the kitchen. There's just a Walmart person and they're like, I'm putting stuff in the fridge. Hi. And they're just like, this is normal. Hold up. That's all I got to say is, and let me tell you, my anxiety went through the roof and my OCD. And it's so funny because I was sitting watching TV and watching like Hulu or something. This isn't even, you know, network television. It's ads on Hulu or, I mean, not Netflix, because whichever service, streaming service that has commercials that we're watching, it must have been Hulu. And I was like, I was shook for a minute. I was like, no fucking way is a Walmart person just coming in my house and stocking my fridge, whether I'm here or not. And that's their whole thing. Well, you don't have time to stock your fridge. You're like, no, take 5 minutes, stock the fridge. Unless your kid's like younger than two, have them help you stock the fridge. My 5-year-old, we get home from the grocery store, she's like, here you go. She hands stuff. It's not that difficult. Like, really, the solution is let a stranger in your home, whether you're home or not. Oh, if anyone out there sends me random Walmart grocery delivery, I'm going to block your ass somehow. Because I do not want some random person in my house. That's what I said to my wife. I was like, you know, I get it. Maybe you got a local neighbor kid and, you know, like my wife's grandmother's 99. If she had a local neighbor kid that could bring her a grocery and help her, that's one thing. But then it's someone you know. It's not just like some random, and nothing against Walmart workers. I'm sure they're perfectly fine, like, the, you know. But no. Stay out of my house. Just drop the stuff on the porch. Be on your way. We're good here. Ugh. Oh, and the 6th Street Bridge. This one's mainly just for the Southern California listeners or maybe people that follow Southern California news. So they built this new bridge in L.A., the 6th Street Bridge. Beautiful bridge. Connects part of L.A. and Boyle Heights. Makes it, you know, quick little cut through. $588 million they spent on this bridge. $588 million. It opened a couple weeks ago. They have consistently had to close down this bridge for multiple things. Street racing, people illegally climbing the bridge, like the big loopy things over the top. And there was something else, too. They just keep having to close this bridge. $588 million. And what they're doing tonight is they're actually going to have police patrols like on the bridge all night or something like that. But everyone's just, and that's what it is. It's the like street racing, and then also that's a big thing right now in LA. And depending where you're listening, it might be in your area too, where they take over intersections and cars just start doing donuts in the intersection. It's like, all right, great. I'm gonna go this way then, and I don't want to, you know. And that's a lot of that's going on at 6th Street Bridge. That's why we can't have nice things. $588 million, and fucking things just gets closed all the time. Really, we can't have nice things. Why are you ruining this? And maybe don't build a bridge that's like a drag strip. Reminds me a bit of, and it's changed since then and widened, but we had this Ted Williams Parkway down there in San Diego, and it was like 3 miles of just two lanes going each direction. And there were no exits. It was Ted Williams Parkway, so it was not, actually, now it's changed and it's a bigger section of freeway with more exits. You could get on there, and you knew if there was a police officer, you're seeing a police officer. They can't hide from you. So I will admit, myself included and some friends, that's where you went to go see how fast your car could go. So maybe let's consider those things when we build $588 million bridges in Los Angeles, that you're going to run into issues like this. And I did hear a suggestion that they just make it a pedestrian bridge. And it's like, well, that might do it, but then idiots are still going to climb the thing. Oh, 6th Street Bridge. All right, let's get into some entertainment news and wrap it up for episode 84. All right, I got to say, rest in peace to a true legendary athlete and activist just passed this morning, and that is Bill Russell. Apologies, this is another sporty reference for those of you that don't like the sports and wait for me to get through the sports and stuff, but it's very, very important to recognize this. Because not only is he one of the most decorated basketball players in the history of professional basketball, 11 rings. To give you some comparison there, Michael Jordan, who many consider the greatest basketball player of all time, he won 6 championships, 6 rings. Bill Russell won 11. I think he won more than he didn't win while he was playing. I mean, 11, so it's pretty damn good. Played for the Celtics, Red Auerbach. Respect to Red Auerbach, who was the first professional basketball coach to start 5 African-American players at one time. So Gonna miss this guy. And not only that, but he devoted a lot of his time to activism and supporting up-and-coming athletes, who was, in general, just a great guy. You didn't hear anyone say bad things about Bill Russell. I'm gonna miss seeing him pop up during NBA playoffs and things like that. I'm gonna miss hearing about his work in activism and supporting marginalized people in the community. Hail fellow well met to Bill Russell. Gonna miss seeing him. And also have to take a moment, just because it's the exact day, on July 29th, 2012, the punk rock community lost an absolute legend in Tony Sly, who, among many projects, was the main face of No Use for a Name. It was 10 years ago today that we unfortunately lost Tony Sly. And he was like 42. I want to say 42. Right. He was too young. Too young. I'm very close to 42 myself. I'm hoping that's not the end. Had to recognize that, and I know a lot of people out there in the community and in the scene are also sharing their thoughts and their memories of Tony Sly. 10 years gone as of today. All right, and congrats to David Ortiz. We have talked about Big Poppy on this podcast many times, and in fact, behind me, there is some David Ortiz merch. There's also some David Ortiz merch in my bedroom that I keep close by. And I just want to give a huge congrats to David Ortiz, who was inducted into the Hall of Fame last weekend. And coincidentally, I had a memory pop up on my Facebook. It was within the past couple days in 2016 that I had the privilege of seeing David Ortiz play live for not him playing live. It was my last time seeing him play live down there at Angel Stadium in Anaheim. So lots of good memories watching David Ortiz, Big Poppy, play throughout his baseball career, including watching him hit a home run to help clinch the division series against the Angels back in 2007. So congrats, David Ortiz, one hell of a human being, not only on the field but off the field as well. All right, we got some rumors going rampant. Blink-182 shared a post from Funko Pop. And apparently there is a new set of Funko Pops coming out, three different figures, and it is in honor of the 30th anniversary of Blink-182. From what we can gather, these are going to be some naked Funko Pops. You're not going to see the junk on the guys, I'm sure, but it's covered by guitars and a drum set. It looks like it's going to be an homage to the What's My Age Again music video. And it looks pretty obviously that it's going to be Mark, Travis, and dun-dun-dun, Tom, of course. So, this has created rampant rumors that Tom DeLonge will be returning to Blink-182. There's been no clarification, no confirmation of that. In fact, Tom DeLonge also shared the Funko Pop post. A lot of talk about it. I'm not holding my breath on it. I'd love to see Tom come back as a long time Blink-182 fan, especially early Blink-182 stuff. 30 years, 92 was when they were formed. And so I would love to see Tom come back, but I don't know that this necessarily means Tom will be coming back. He is a large part of Blink-182. Really, he and Mark were the founders of Blink-182. You could say Scott is, but they were the main guys behind Blink-182, brought in Scott Rayner, got rid of Scott Rayner, brought in Travis. Tom left for mutual reasons, and then that's where we are today. So we'll see. We'll see. I might pick up a couple of those. I have a Mark Funko. That's the other thing, is they made Blink-182 Funkos a couple years ago, and they only made Mark and Travis. I've got Mark on the Funko wall behind me. I didn't pick up a Travis one. I tend to do that. They did all three Green Day guys. I got Trey back there. I didn't want to get all three. I'm not a big enough fan. Now, if Rancid did it, I'm all four. Less than Jake does it, good Lord, I'm going to go bankrupt on buying Funkos. But, I'm going to buy a whole set. But some of the others, like, let me get a Trey Cool, get a Mark here. But maybe, maybe we'll pick up some of those. Let's keep your eyes peeled for that one. All right, Unwritten Law. I've been talking about this for a few episodes now, but their newest album was officially released on Friday. It is called The Hum. We talked about their first couple singles, and I was absolutely correct. Their first single was nowhere near the best song on the album. I took the opportunity Friday night, cracked myself a beer, sat down, put the headphones on, and gave a good listen to The Hum, which I said just came out on Friday. First thing that struck out to me before I even listened to it, 18 tracks on the new album. 18! We're in this world of albums having 10 songs. And to be fair, there's one song that's like 48 seconds. It's, but in a world of 10 track albums, 18 from Unwritten Law. So make sure you're picking that up. And I will say, The Hum, the title track on there, sounds very, very, very Black Album. I Told You Beggars sounds very, very Here's to the Morning. The Hum, very, very, very Black Album. In a good way. I'm enjoying the whole album. Some songs better than others. There's also three re-records on there. So they did a re-record of Celebration Song, Save Me, and Seeing Red, which are all great tracks by Unwritten Law. And for those of you that are super familiar in a deep dive on Unwritten Law, Save Me is actually a track co-written by Amy Interrupter of the Interrupters. Amy Allen at the time, but Amy Interrupter of the Interrupters. My favorite songs that I've found on the album, and like I said, I'm enjoying pretty much the whole album, but my favorite songs so far have been Beggars, Lighthead, and Murder Days. Murder Days just boom, 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 hits in a good way. It's very, feels very old school Unwritten Law, but with a newer, like their newer 1990, late 90s vibe, but including kind of that Oz Factor vibe, which is actually, that's the logo on my shirt with some aliens, is the Oz Factor logo. Who doesn't love Oz Factor if you're a UL fan? There's also Take Me, which is a fantastic acoustic track. I always say, and I will never sit here and defend Scott Russo. I love the guy because he's put out some good music for me, and I've met him so many times personally and grew up in the same area as him, you know, even though he's a little bit older. But I think he has a very underrated voice, and he put out a great acoustic track called Take Me. It's an acoustic track that's just fantastic. So highly recommend checking that one out. And I also really enjoyed, it's a cover song of Little Lies, but it features Kalen Russo. And if you want to feel old, it features Kalen Russo, and it is that Kalen, the namesake of the song off the Black Album from 1998. And she sounds great on it. It's a cool cover of Little Lies. Make sure you're checking it out. The whole album's great. Well worth the purchase. I think you can get it on vinyl. I might look at getting it on vinyl. I don't get a ton of vinyl, but I do have the Black Album on vinyl, so we'll see if this is one I might pick up on vinyl. But I, of course, paid and bought the digital album, which I then synced with my YouTube Music, and that's how I listen to all the things. And I am ready for an Unwritten Law tour. I'm hoping that we're going to see them kicking up a tour soon. And selfishly, I want to see them play the Glass House. I've seen them play there multiple times. Over the past, 25 years. I think the first time I saw them at Glass House was in the late 90s, and the last time I saw them was 2019. And so it's like, yeah, I mean, 20-plus years. And then the years, you know, since 2019. All right, I want to recap this pro-row fundraiser at Alex's Bar down there in Long Beach. I made a sip off my water there real quick. I know I mentioned this was going to be happening last Thursday. I took the time to go down there with my sis, Laura. Thankfully, she drove me down there because I enjoyed a couple beers. People were buying me the drinks, and I said, okay, let's have a few beers here. They did a raffle, which was fantastic. And I didn't win. There was a ton of prizes. Everybody around me is winning. I'm sitting outside at one point, and I think it was Daniel comes and sits, and he's like, oh, look. And I was like, did you just win? There's so many raffle prizes. I didn't get anything, but it's fine. All the money went toward a good cause. It was all the proceeds were going to pro women's rights organizations that are fighting for women's rights, not only in California but around the country. So it was great to just throw some money at that. Also, they had these fantastic bandanas that we were able to get with a donation. And I don't think it's as well known to many as it is to some, but apparently, and this has been a symbol of women's rights for, like, since the 70s, I think, is the green bandana, and so they had these designed with the fist and the female symbol there, which is fantastic. Sorry for those of you that aren't seeing the video. I'm going to show a few things here, and so you got to go just catch those clips of the video. So again, a little donation for that. And then they had a bunch of stickers and pins for free. And I made the mistake. I actually put one of these pro-row stickers on my wall, but I put it just above where the video feed camera hits. But they had a whole bunch of these, and I grabbed some for my wife. Like, we got all kinds of cool stickers here, and I love this one. It's California Raisin. Raisin Hell Pro Row 1973. That one I actually think I bought for like a dollar or something. So they had all that going on. There was also an organization there, and forgive me, it was a Long Beach-based organization that were doing, they were doing postcards to fill out and send, and I believe those were specifically going to politicians in Texas, where it's just crazy. And, you know, at least in California, we are, for the most part, protecting women's rights. In Texas, they're actively stripping them. And then, of course, the fantastic food and drink. They had this Filipino fusion tacos out there. And the tacos were great. I had some pork belly tacos. But good Lord, the lumpia. And let me say, if you know, you know. See, I grew up in San Diego. I know. And this was some fantastic lumpia. And I believe some of those proceeds were also going to the organizations that were helping. And they're doing the same thing with drinks. It was funny because I go in, and my sister Laura, she likes to drink Tito's vodka, like a Tito's and soda. And the bartender says, oh, can we do Absolut? They're a sponsor for this, and money from Absolut sales is going. And it was like, oh, yeah. I think I have an answer before she. I was like, oh, yeah, just do the Absolut. Like, let's support it. Tons of familiar faces. Tons. I was running into everybody. We were in there 2 seconds before I started running into people, which was a lot of fun. And we just kind of took things over. And it was great seeing the support from other organizations. Obviously, Go Tell It to the Wall was there, slinging some stickers. But you also saw a lot of support from Mabel Syndrome, Sidewalk Project, Girls Like Us. I put their new sticker up, but again, I put it off the video framing here. And King Rock Podcast. Adam was out there as well from King Rock Podcast. So lots of support from the community and the scene. All kinds of different organizations out there showing their support, as well as Pirates Press. Veek was out there. I forgot. I didn't write down Pirates Press. Veek, like, everybody's out there just showing their support. It was fantastic seeing the crowd and the overwhelming support. One funny thing is, I'm going to get sidetracked. Well, let me, Bad Cop then, of course, played. They killed it. It was fantastic. Just had a blast. And it's always great when you have a blast, hang with your friends, see the support just seeping from everybody, and know that you're actually supporting a good cause and financially supporting a good cause at these kinds of events. I will say one funny little tidbit that I realized, because I had the new stickers and I'm passing them out and stuff, and for those of you familiar with American Psycho, and it's not quite as bad as like, oh, this card's so much nicer than mine, but there's definitely this with stickers in the scene. Because you do it in a positive way, not like what's his name getting jealous of business cards, but it's like, we're doing this, and everyone, I'm handing my, I'm like, you seen the new logo? Oh, that's so cool. And then like, I'm talking to Raven from Girls Like Us, and she's like, oh, we got the hologram one. I'm like, I'm holding it up like, oh, this is cool. That's kind of the new school way of business cards. And then not really a jealousy, but just like, oh, maybe I need some hologram stickers too. So it was a lot of fun. All right, I do want to take a minute and talk about Stupid Rad merch. We've mentioned them so many times. They, Stupid Rad, Simeon over at Stupid Rad, they do such a fantastic job with custom merch with their own designs. In fact, this Go Tell It to the Wall mug is not a mug that you can buy on our merch site. We have one up there. This one is a Stupid Rad merch mug that I had custom made. Simeon hooked me up like a couple years ago. We've had this one. They have some great new stuff in their store. In fact, including this, again, apologies if you're not on the video feed, but you got to see this thing. This ridiculous bling here, it's a take on the Death Row Records, but it says Stupid Rad. So I intend to be rocking this thing when I want to look a little bit ridiculous. So check them out. They got some new awesome merch, and they have merch from some of your favorite bands, including Bomb Pops, Bad Cop, Get Dead, Billy Liar, among many others. So check that out and give them some support. And in fact, I'm always picking stuff up from them. I got some patches from them the other, like a couple weeks ago. Picked up a new shirt. And Simeon was including this last weekend with some shirt purchases. And I'm actually going to end up wearing that, not next weekend, but the weekend after. Because just in case we don't go have a new episode next weekend, the following weekend, August 13th, is Summer Sizzler down there at Garden Grove Amphitheater. Last I heard, there were like 100 tickets left. It's probably going to sell out. So if you're in Southern California, you want to check out a great show, Summer Sizzler. And if you want to see me looking ridiculous, we are doing a cabana suit strut. I have already got my cabana suit. If you don't know what it is, just go Google it. It's ridiculous. It's awesome and ridiculous at the same time. And, of course, I will be out there rocking my new Stupid Rad bling along with my cabana suit. So if you're going to be out there at Garden Amp for Summer Sizzler on August 13th, look for me. I'll throw some stickers your way and all kinds of good stuff and get out there and support Bite Me Bambi among many other bands that are playing Summer Sizzler. Unfortunately, and if you don't want to go to Summer Sizzler, you miss out on tickets, go see Half Past Two at Chain Reaction. They're playing the same night. I had to make the decision, but I got to see Half Past Two last weekend. I already had tickets for Summer Sizzler when Half Past Two was announced. Oh, all right. I got another sip of water here, and we're going to wrap it up because we are already over time here. All right. That is going to do it for us for this week. There's a small chance we won't be back next week with a new episode. We will be back definitely the week after, and this is only, I'm just... And not, I don't want to say dealing with family. I have some family in town. So if I don't have the time to get in the studio, we might not have an episode next weekend. But we will have one the following weekend. That I can assure you of. And we'll recap Summer Sizzler among some other things that have been happening over that have happened over that week or week to 2 weeks. So just keep an eye out on the Facebook page. Again, facebook.com/gotellittothewall. We'll keep everyone updated there. Of course, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/gotellittothewall, and my own personal Instagram account, which is doing new things every couple days or so. So you can keep updated there at SoCalSean, SoCalSean, at SoCalSean. And don't forget to bookmark our website, Sean O'Rourke Live. That is your one-stop shop for everything and everything that is Common Sense Sundays, as well as Go Tell It to the Wall and me, Sean O'Rourke. And hook us up with some support on Patreon or the merch site. And again, we're going to add that new logo up to the merch site hopefully this week, so keep an eye out. I'll update everyone on the social platforms, and maybe we'll do an email blast once the new logo is up there on the merch website. All right. This has been episode 84 of Common Sense Sundays with Go Tell It to the Wall, hosted by me, your absolute favorite podcast host, the one and only Sean O'Rourke. And remember, wall fans, common sensors, podcast consumers, no matter where you go, no matter who you're with, no matter what you're doing, and especially no matter why you are doing it, always, always use common sense.